So let's review. Kate said Ma'abin Nesa'ar. As a general rule, the Tchum Shabbos is measured from the edge of one's residence. If the person lives inside a city, the entire city is considered his residence. Therefore, the Tchum Shabbos is measured from the edge of the city. Our Mishnah's teachings are based on the concept that a city first needs to be squared off in order to determine from where to begin measuring the Tchum. As an example, if the city is oval-shaped, by squaring off the city, we are in effect adding four additional corners to the city, and only begin measuring for the Tchum beyond those points. However, if the city limits are not clearly defined, and various structures protrude here and there from the rest of the houses, the Mishnah teaches that it would depend on the type of structure whether they affect the shape of the city limits. Included structures would be a house, a tower protruding from a wall, ruins of old homes, bridges with dwelling place in them, and tomb buildings. Once we determine how far the boundary of the city go on each side, we draw the Tchum boundary as a square around the city, so that the boundaries on each side meet each other at right angles and negates the corners. Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara records four disputes between Rav and Shmuel relating to specific words. The first dispute deals with the exact words of our Mishnah. Chad toni ma'abrin, v'chad toni ma'abrin. One describes the extension of the city in our Mishnah as ma'abrin, with an ayin, which means the city extends like a pregnant woman, while the other describes it, the extension as ma'abrin, with an aleph, as an aver, which means the city extends like an outstretched limb. The next dispute centers around the word ma'aras ha'machpelah. One says that it had two rooms, one on top of the other, and therefore was called Maras HaMachpelah, the double cave. One says it had two rooms, one behind the other. However, as Rashi explains, that would not be referred to as a double cave, because many caves have more than one cavern. Therefore, the Gemara says it was called Maras HaMachpelah Shekafula Bezugos, because of the four couples buried there. Next, Vayhi B'mei Amraphel. One explains that his given name was Nimrod, and that he was called Amraphel because he gave the order to throw Avram into the Kivshon HaEsh. Amraphel is from the words Amar Vehippel. The other explains that his real name was Amraphel, and he was called Nimrod because he caused the entire world to rebel against Hashem. And the fourth one, Vayakam Melech Chadash HaMitzrayim. One understands that there was a new king in Mitzrayim, as is the simple understanding of the pasuk, while the other says it was really the same old king, only with new gezeiros, as evident from the fact that the pasuk never says Vayamas Vayimlech, the old king died and the new king ruled. And even though he knew Yosef, the Torah says Asher lo yodes Yosef, he acted as if he did not know Yosef. Returning to what the exact wording in our Mishnah, the Gemara presents Rabbi Yochanan, who learned in Rabbi Yosef Baribi's yeshiva that the correct word in our Mishnah is ma'abrin with an aleph. Rabbi Yochanan then goes on to describe his experience in Rabbi Yosef Baribi's yeshiva. Hayinu yeshivim arba arba ba'ama. The students were crammed together where four people sat at one amma. And that much like Rabbi Meir in his time, le'yachlu chaveiru v'lamed al sef tevar. Nobody was able to fully understand the depth of Rabbi Yosef's reasoning. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Liban shel rishonim kipischa shel ulam, v'shel achreinim kipischa shel eichel, v'anu kimlei nekev mechet sitkis. The heart and minds of the previous great Chachamim were opened so much greater than ours as to compare the opening of the ulam or heichel to the opening of the eye of a needle. The Gemara continues. Rabbi Yehuda Merav. B'nei Yehuda shekpidu al ha'shaynim neskei mitarasim b'yadim. The B'nei Yehuda, unlike the B'nei Galil, were able to retain their Torah because of four factors. They were precise with their language. They used mnemonics to aid in memory. They learned from just one Rebbe, and they taught others in a way similar to David HaMelech, who taught with clarity and precision. The Gemara gives examples of how B'nai Yehuda were very precise in describing things, while the B'nai Galil were very vague. The Gemara then goes on to give several examples of people using vague language as a nice way of saying things, including Amtsa DeBei Rebbe's way of telling the students when to go home and when to stay, Rabbi Yosef Bar Isian's way of asking for beets and about the welfare of an innkeeper, Rabbi Avoh's way of telling people to prepare coals, Rabbi Avoh's way of describing Rabbi Eloi's late night with his new wife or his learning, and Rabbi Eloi's way of describing where Rabbi Avoh went to learn Torah. Or Rabbi Shub ben Chananya, Miyomai lo netzchani odam, chutz mi'isha, tinek, v'tinoikis. Shub ben Chananya said that he was only outsmarted by the following woman, young boy, and young girl, causing him to exclaim, Ashrechem Yisrael, shekulchem chacham gedoylem atem, migdelchem v'ad ketanchem. The Jewish people are praiseworthy, because they are all wise, from old to young. After 2 days of eating every last drop of beans that an innkeeper made for him, Rabbi Yeshua did not eat his beans on the third day because they were burned. The woman said that maybe he left them over since he failed to leave over any from the first 2 days. And Mishairin Peya Bekara were supposed to leave a bit over on the plate. A young girl once told him that just because a path was trampled upon does not mean it is a public path that you may walk on, because listem kamaischa kavshua, thieves like you have walked on it. A young boy once told him that a certain path is kitzara v'arucha, both short and long, since it is a short path to a city, but it leads to orchards that block access to the city. The Daf then concludes with two stories of Bruria, the wife of Reb Meir. First, she criticized Reb Yosei Glili for saying be'ezed derech neilich lelud, when they could have used a shorter phrase, ezed lelud, because altar besicha me'isha, a man should not talk too much to a woman. In the second story, Bruria kicked a Talmud who was learning quietly, because she exclaimed that learning out loud causes all of a person's limbs to move, which allows him to remember his learning better.